biodiversity is an integral part of agriculture. From crocuses to the mighty spruce tree, dung beetles to the bison, the interactions between living things helps your land stay productive. Take something like canola. The interactions between canola flowers and bees results in critical pollination and nectar for the bees. There's also the interactions between the plant's root system and the vast soil microbial world. Life feeds off of life. Researchers have been able to draw links between increased biodiversity and improved soil fertility, pollination, resistance against pests, and resilience against floods and droughts. And on a rainy day last June, on a gorgeous farm tucked away in the foothills of the Rockies, we had a chance to speak to just a few of these experts. They brought different perspectives, such as how to monitor biodiversity on your land, getting paid for ecological services, and agroforestry. But they all drove home the exact same point. Just how critical these interactions are between different forms of life are to farms and ranches in Alberta. It was an absolutely brilliant workshop. Now we're hoping it's going to make a great podcast series. So welcome to part one of our Farming with Biodiversity series. My name is Derek Leahy, and this is Rural Routes to Climate Solutions.
I work with the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute. I'm actually the information coordinator, so I handle all of the data that we bring in from our field surveys. And I was actually asked here today to chat a bit about biodiversity, why it's important, and how you can participate in monitoring biodiversity in Alberta and on your own lands.
The goal of the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute is to monitor the state and changes of biodiversity in Alberta. They operate 1,156 different sites across the province, from the boreal forest to the grasslands, to collect data on species, soil, moss, their habitats, and land uses. It's probably safe to say there's no other scientific institute that cares as much for biodiversity in Alberta as the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute.
What is biodiversity? So first of all, it's incredibly complex. It's not just referring to those familiar things we see every day, such as the deer in our fields or the chickadees on our bird feeders, but it's so much more. So it's how those creatures actually live, connect, and interact with each other. Alberta itself is an incredibly diverse place. We have those six main ecosystem types, which are called natural regions. Each of those natural regions has its own distinctive geographic and climatic conditions, which support the enormous variety of species, both plants and animals. Within those, if we were outside, you'd have those alpine associated species that you'd find at the top of the Rocky Mountains. And then you'd have those grassland associated species, such as barred sparrow, that you would see in your rolling prairies. There's been, I think it's about, or at least 60,000 species that have found a place to dwell within Alberta. It's just so diverse. That being said, though, only about 3,000 species have actually been named or described in Alberta. So the remaining ones that remain unnamed are actually those microscopic organisms, the bacteria, the soil mites that you don't see under your feet necessarily. So they're just those ones that we don't actually see, so they're not actually present to the naked eye. So that being said, biodiversity, it's around us everywhere, and we see it every day. We encounter it, we interact with it all the time.
So can anybody out there name those six natural regions? I know I can't. So just in case you're like me, the six natural regions of Alberta are the boreal forest, grasslands, Rockies, foothills, parkland, and the Canadian Shield. The last one surprised me a bit. I actually didn't realize the Canadian Shield stretched out this far, which just shows you, boom, I have a very loose grasp on geography, I suppose. Anyways, each region has its own subregions. For example, I'm in Central Alberta right now, and a good chunk of Central Alberta is the Parkland region, which has three subregions. These subregions are Foothills Parkland, Peace River Parkland, and Central Parkland. Each subregion has its own unique characteristics. So like the Foothills, obviously it's more hilly. Peace River Parkland, that's more with rolling plains and slopes. And Central Parkland is extremely fertile soil and the most heavily populated part of Alberta. Lupins are common to the Foothills subregion, but not so much in the Central Parkland. High bush cranberry, on the other hand, you'll find in the Central Parkland, but not in the Foothills. I probably should have looked this up before I started recording, but what I'm really curious to find out is where these subregions, or even the natural regions, where they collide, where they intersect, is that where biodiversity and productivity really explodes? I just keep thinking about the grass on the farm that I'm working on right now, and the grass always seems to be way taller when it gets closer to the trees.
Alberta's economic prosperity is actually really strongly linked to our nature's bounty and the ongoing support of those various ecosystem services that are in basically working kind of behind the scenes. So things such as soil nutrient cycling, forage production, pollination for agricultural crops such as canola. We also have the recreational services that they provide to us. So biodiversity is incredibly important to our way of life.
There was one part of COP's presentation that made me really sad. It's when she pointed out the obvious. Without biodiversity, we have no ecosystems. Biodiversity is in decline everywhere throughout the world. We have fewer species than we did 100 years ago or 200 years ago. I'll take Canada, for example. Half of the mammal, bird, reptile, and amphibian species in Canada are in decline. Grasslands birds, so a lot of the birds we have out here in the prairies, they're taking some of the biggest hits, and climate change is not making the situation any better.
Climate change. We all know that the climate is changing in Alberta. And alongside that, we have our biodiversity changing with it. So with warming Alberta temperatures, we see a similar change in our biodiversity and subsequent effects in those ecosystem services and benefits that are provided to us, such as the crops we grow or the water we drink. So the decisions we make now in regards to land use, species management, resource management, has an impact on how our species, ecosystems, and human communities will actually respond and determine whether they're actually resilient and vulnerable to the changing climate.
Now, this is a climate solutions podcast. This is not a climate change is coming and we're all going to die podcast. When we first contacted COP back in May, and she was absolutely over the moon when I told her a lot of producers are closet citizen scientists. And it's true. Even if you don't like the name, the sound of the label, nobody, no scientist, no researcher, no expert knows your land better than you do. So we asked COP, could she provide producers with some tips on how they can monitor biodiversity on their land? And this is what she had to say.
The thing that I'm really interested in presenting to you today about is the tools that you can use to actually monitor biodiversity on your lands and in Alberta. So the first one, so these are two applications that the ABMI is currently working on. NatureLinx is the first one I'm going to talk to you about. So it should be coming out around the end of July, and it's actually a cell phone application. So you go onto the Google Play Store or you go onto iTunes and you download it for free. And essentially what this application does, it allows you to go out wherever you are and snap photos of the various things of biodiversity you see. So any wild species, whether you're out, you have, let's say, a mule deer in your backyard and you want to snap a photo of it. Basically what it does, it snaps that photo, takes a GPS tag location, and it amalgamates it into this database. So one of the, not issues, but there's all these data sets that are kind of dispersed everywhere. And there's no necessarily interaction between these data sets throughout Alberta. So this serves as a tool of just having a regular citizen go out and track their own biodiversity and amalgamate it into this central database where they can see results from across the province. So just everybody just going out and snapping photos of that wildflower that they just saw. The other nice thing that you can do with this application is you can actually create groups and missions. So the purpose of a group is just to have something that's ongoing. So for example, the ABMI might have something that they want to track deer in northern Alberta. So that's their group, and that's they just take pictures of deers. So that would be similar to actually going with a specific objective and going and actually collecting data to facilitate that objective. So we could, for example, we could do a bio blitz on Jeremy's farm just for the day. Let's see what we can go out and find. Everybody take out their phones and go and snap photos. You could essentially get an inventory of everything that everybody saw on Jeremy's farm for that bio blitz day. So it has several functionalities and purposes that you can use for your own projects. If you're working with any sort of group or organization, you can just go out and have fun and snap photos, and that data all gets stored in a central database that you can essentially download and use for your purposes. Because citizen science is a very, very powerful tool and source of data these days.
Another very cool thing about the NatureLinks app is that experts identify the unknown species that are posted to the database. So for example, and this is kind of embarrassing to admit, but I had no idea Alberta had magpies when I first moved out here. When I saw the bird, I had no idea what it was. I thought magpies were an Australian thing. So what I could have done, if I had a better phone at the time, I could have taken a picture of a magpie sitting in a tree, uploaded it to NatureLinks, had it been around, and just labeled it as unknown. I'm pretty sure at that point, I would have got about 1,000 messages back from Albertan users saying, it's a magpie, you moron, but you get the idea. So NatureLinks, it really is like a social media platform that birders or anybody who's really interested in wildlife could get into. But what does any of this matter to running your farm or ranch? A bunch of pretty pictures of shooting stars, gophers, in my case, obviously magpies. Yeah, that's nice, but what's it going to do to increase yields or just like free up some time on your farm? Remember when I said at the very beginning of this episode, increased on-farm biodiversity means better resilience, which does impact yields and production. If you go to NatureLinks, you'll notice there's different groups, and some of these groups are based on geographic areas, like a town or a county. So you go, let's say you find the one for your town or county, and you notice that somebody in that group has posted a picture of a bird you've never seen on your farm. You do a little bit of research, and you find out that this bird is really great at suppressing pests, and all you really have to do is design a bird box in a certain way, place it at a certain height and area to encourage this bird to come nest on your land. Before you know it, you've basically created a no to low-cost pest management system at your place, not to mention the added mental benefits of having more life on your land. I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but I know when I go out there to move cows, and as you get closer to the herd, there's this big explosion of birds that come out of the pasture. It just, I don't know, it leaves me with a good feeling. It does some good for the soul. There was actually a study done in the UK that found people had decreased levels of depression, anxiety, stress when they could see birds from their window or garden. And I love the idea of doing a bio blitz for your next farm tour. You could partner with a school or a naturalist group, or maybe you just have really great neighbors. Go out there, photograph and tag as much life and biodiversity out there, and bam, you've got a complete inventory, or close to complete inventory, of all the different life you're sharing the land with. NatureLinks is a really good start for tracking biodiversity in your land, but you can up your game from there.
It's called Wild Tracks. And essentially, it's a centralized network for environmental sensors. So the two environmental sensors that we're focusing on right now are remote cameras. How many people have a remote camera installed somewhere? They're pretty sweet. I love looking at remote camera images. So that's one of the sensors. And the other one is an automated recording unit. So this is actually set out, and it records bird song. And these sets or these units will go off at regular scheduled intervals, and they will continue to collect data over the course of several months. And then they get brought back in, and people actually listen to the data and assess the birds that they find on it. So it's a little less invasive than actually going out and walking in and doing a point count. You don't have the human disturbance there that might bias what birds you're actually seeing. So the application that we're building actually allows citizens to go in and either put their camera data to where they can actually analyze it quickly. So they just flip through their photos and identify what's in it. They can actually you can do bigger groups and have basically open your data up to whoever wants to come in and actually tag it. So what it creates is this sense of engagement, and people like to interact with this data and see what's on the landscape. It really brings a sense of kind of like home, and this is really neat. I want to do this because everybody else is doing it and I get to actually see what's in Alberta. So those are two of the applications that will be coming out very, very shortly. WildTrax is scheduled for probably December, but keep your eyes out for NatureLinks. That one, we're going to be doing actually a bunch of promotional stuff come the end of July for you guys to use at free whenever you want to.
The audio sensors that Kat mentioned, those I find really, really useful when it comes to WildTrax. I'm pretty bad at identifying bird songs, trying to figure out what song goes with which bird. I probably could Google it, but at least with WildTrax, I know that the people in the know can identify it for me, and I'm contributing to a really important Alberta-wide database. That's it for part one of our biodiversity series, keeping track of the different life, sharing the land with you. Thanks for tuning in, and in parts two and three, we'll talk about incorporating agroforestry practices that can help your land, and the idea of getting paid for the ecosystem services your farm provides. Big thank you to Karina Kopp of the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute for her presentation at our workshop last June, and for letting us use the audio from a presentation to make this episode. Thank you also to Little Lowe's Farm and Sundry for hosting the workshop. This podcast would not be possible without the financial support of the Alberta Real Estate Foundation, so thank you to them. It'd also be very difficult to be doing this podcast without all the tips and advice I received from Duke Patz and David Dodge in the past. Also, this podcast would not be happening without the steadfast support of Brenda Barrett, Dana Penrice, Mark Fox, and Kim Cornish. Every podcast needs a good home, and we record ours at the Maker House in Red Deer. Rural Routes to Climate Solutions is a central Alberta-based project providing opportunities for rural Albertans to learn how to benefit from climate solutions. Along with podcasting, we also run workshops and field days. Check out our website at www.rr2cs.ca to find out when our next event is or to download another podcast episode. Happy farming wherever you are in Alberta, and remember, what's good for the farm is usually good for the climate.